It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and Abby Said is here again today. Actually, have we made it past your first year anniversary, Abby?
Almost. It's tomorrow.
Okay. Well, happy anniversary. Let me be the first to wish you happy work anniversary.
Thank you.
Abby is the Agriculture, Horticulture, and Natural Resources Extension Agent. She's also the coordinator for Garfield County Master Gardener through CSU Extension. And Steve Anthony is the Vegetation Manager for Garfield County. So it's not hard to figure out what we're going to be talking about today. Noxious weeds and stuff like that, right?
That is correct.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm off to a good start. I always like it when we can get off to a positive beginning like that. So do you have some events coming up, or do you have some more cost shares, Steve, or a combination of the two?
We have all of the above. So we were going to talk about some of the events that we usually have going on, as well as some special events coming up as well.
Okay. Where do you want to start? Want to talk maybe just some groundwork about, you know, what is a noxious weed? Why is it important to get rid of them? Steve, it's been like 10 years that you've had the current position in Garfield County, isn't it?
10 plus another 10. So
okay.
20, actually, yeah, just had the 20-year anniversary
a couple
of months ago.
Happy anniversary to you as well.
Well, thank you.
That's exciting.
It's anniversary day, I guess.
Yeah. Apparently. So what are noxious weeds? Why is it important to be aware of them and to get rid of them?
So that's a good question. And a lot of times when people hear the term noxious, they think of it's kind of a hybrid word of toxic and obnoxious. But really what noxious means is that a weed is on some jurisdiction's weed list. So in our case, it would be on the state of Colorado's weed list and Garfield County's weed list. State of Colorado has about 100 plants on their weed list. They have, and it's broken down into list A, list B, and list C in order of priority. So if it's a list A species like Myrtle Spurge would be, it has a higher priority and would need to be eradicated. And then Garfield County has taken about 40 plants and put on our weed list. And there is the county has a noxious weed management plan, which follows the State Noxious Weed Act, which mandates that landowners manage their noxious weeds. We prefer to take the approach of emphasizing education, and we have a cost share program that would provide for reimbursement to landowners. We partner with the conservation districts. We've been doing that for about 19 years, and that program is pretty easy to participate in. Anybody is eligible, whether you live on a 40-acre parcel, or you have a 320-acre ranch, or if you live in one of the towns. The only criteria is really that you have noxious weeds and you want to manage them, and you could be eligible for reimbursement. And it's a pretty good program. It can reimburse up to 75% for materials if you do it yourself, or if you hired somebody, it would reimburse up to 50%. And it's real easy to participate. I'll just say the easiest way is just to go on our website and look at my contact information, Garfield County Vegetation Management. You can Google that and get to us, and we will set up a site visit, and that's the first step, really, is to do the site visit and see what you have. And it's always good to kind of visit with folks and kick around the dirt a little bit and then to try to figure things out via email or over the phone. So we like to do the site visits, and a lot of times we'll be able to point out things that maybe people weren't aware that they had. But this is we're coming into the time of year where it's probably the best time of year to manage weeds from, I'd say, now for the next month. And then we get into the fall, and that's also a good time of the year to treat weeds.
And how much does it typically cost? I mean, I guess it depends on how much property you need to treat and how many noxious weeds you have growing.
Well, that's a tough question. If you were managing, say, larger parcels of land in terms of acres, it could be up to 30 to 40 an acre. If you're doing
$30 to $40,
$30 to $40 a good. Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. $30 to $40 an acre to manage noxious weeds.
So we're not talking about a huge outlay, and there are some monies that can potentially be available that can help you offset that.
Right. That's through the cost share program, and the county commissioners actually fund that to the amount of about $45,000 this year. And then that money, we partner with the conservation district. So we have three conservation districts that we work with.
Right.
And they are based out of the USDA Service Center in West Glenwood. And the three districts are Mount Sopris, Book Cliff, and Southside. And so they kind of handle the administration, and then we both partner on doing the site visits. And it is a good we prefer that approach of kind of dangling the carrot in front of people instead of the stick, which i.e. would be enforcement. We prefer the education and working with people on this reimbursement program. And we have, on a good year, a typical good year, we'll have about 100 landowners that participate in the program, and we usually get about 4,000 acres that get managed through this. So we think it's been a pretty successful program, but we can always keep doing more.
So again, if you Google Garfield County Vegetation Management, you should be able to find the page on the county's website.
Right. That'll get you to our contact information, and I'll have my phone number and email, and we'll put up the current application. That should be there. And all the other programs that we have that Abby's we partner with CSU Extension on, those should be there as well. And that's a good start to go there.
Abby, every time you come in, I mention Ray Cogburn, who was the Extension agent way back when. You still know his name. I see the smile on your face. He was there for a long time. He had your job, actually. He was the I don't know if they called it exactly the same thing. But he was the extension agent that if you had something you were trying to grow and you couldn't figure out what was going wrong, he was the guy you call, and now you're still that person.
Absolutely. So one of the exciting things that I wanted to talk about was I've kind of multiplied some of the people that can help you grow these things too. So we just graduated Garfield County's largest master gardener class in the history of Garfield County.
Oh,
we had
congratulations
an amazing
again.
Thank you. We had an amazing crop of very excited Colorado master gardener apprentices complete the class in April. And now these guys are going to go out into the community and help people with growing things. And I'm always there as a resource as well if you ever have any questions about plants, about how to grow things, about insect identification. I'm also known as the bug lady, so I always tell people any bug questions they have, send them my way.
That's actually what your degree is in,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Entomology. Absolutely. And so we have a group of trained master gardeners that are going to be out in the community at some of these outreach events that I want to talk about. And we also have a lot of classes that we do, and we partner with a lot of community organizations to provide this education for everybody here.
And so the largest Garfield County Master Gardener class.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
So what do these people, I mean, obviously it's a great thing, you know, for bragging rights around the neighborhood when you're talking over the fence with the neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. But is there an outreach element of having that certification that's required?
Absolutely. Okay. So the Colorado Master Gardener Program is a statewide program where people who enroll get over 60 hours of education in science-based horticulture. So they get basically a degree wrapped into a short 11-week period where they're here for classes once a week for a six-hour day. And it's pretty intensive curriculum. No experience necessary. We'll teach you everything that you need to know. And that takes you to part one of being a Colorado Master Gardener. You become an apprentice after taking the classes. Then you have to do 50 volunteer hours within the community in horticulture and education related to gardening.
50 hours is quite a bit.
It is, and they need to do that to become official Master Gardeners. After that, they have to keep doing 24 community service hours every year after that to maintain their certification.
I remember one particular time my dad called Ray, and he was having a problem with his lawn. As I recall, the answer was he was watering too much, and he was actually getting a fungus that was killing the lawn, was having the opposite effect, right? Mm-hmm. What is the most common question that you've had?
It depends on the time of year. So in the spring, a lot of people are asking about their lawns. A lot of people are asking why their lawns aren't green, or they didn't like how their lawn was the past year. So they want to know what best grass seed to grow, what to grow in their landscape. People are starting to know the importance of soil. So they want to learn how to get their soil tested. So we offer education in soil testing, and Colorado State University does soil test analyses. So you can pick up a kit at our office. And if you're curious, you can get your soil tested, too.
How much does it cost? It
costs $35, and you get a customized report of everything your soil entails and how to fix it for what you need.
That is awesome.
Absolutely.
I'll see you later today.
Absolutely, yes. Come on by. Absolutely.
I could use the help.
Absolutely.
We actually, we've had a spruce tree. We've gone through three, actually. They last about 2 years, and then they turn brown and die. I always assumed it was water, but I've also in the back of my head has been, I wonder if there's something going on with the soil, with the dirt that's just not, you know, maybe we should not kill another spruce tree is kind of where I'm going with this.
Yes, maybe let's analyze what's going on. It could potentially be water, but it could be soil, and so it's good to get a big picture of what's going on.
Again, those are $35.
Absolutely.
Do you usually recommend just one kit, or... at what point, how much property would you say maybe you should get two and test in two different areas?
It depends on the purposes. So if you have one large lawn, I usually say take one kit and you take a sample from various sections of that lawn and mix it together.
Okay.
If you're growing two different, completely different things in very different areas of your plot, so if you have a vegetable garden and a lawn in a different spot, or if you have three different fields that you want tested, I'll recommend that you usually get a test for each specific area.
And that is the extension office, by the way. You have those in stock?
Yes, we have those kits in
so
stock.
So just stop by the extension office at the Garfield County Fairgrounds, and Alice will probably be the one that you speak to when you walk in the front door there.
Absolutely.
Talk about somebody who's had their job for a while, Steve. I think she may even be more than 20 years, actually. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's $35, and again, that's through CSU. Again, if you'd like to learn more about the cost shares, like to have Steve or someone come out and take a look at a weed that just doesn't seem right, verify whether or not it's on that list, Google Garfield County Vegetation Management, and you should be able to find Steve's contact information and go from there. We'll take a quick break, come back, and continue this conversation today. As Abby mentioned, there are a couple events coming up that you may want to attend. More on that when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're visiting with Steve Anthony from Garfield County, the vegetation manager, and Abby Saeed, the agriculture, horticulture, entomological, and natural resources extension agent. Steve, you were mentioning during the break another program that you manage that actually doesn't have anything to do with weeds is the mosquito program. Now, we've heard a lot about West Nile over the last 20 years or so, and you also manage, so do you get to decide, or are you part of the conversation to decide whether or not fogging is necessary, or how do you explain what you mean by you manage the mosquito program?
Okay, and I will get to that question, but I'll give you a little.
Feel free to go around the mulberry bush.
We'll go around the bush a little bit on that. So you mentioned the West Nile virus, and that actually started being a presence in Colorado in about 2003. And we started a program right about that time, and we were able to involve every town and every city in Garfield County, all six municipalities. We actually have an annual intergovernmental agreement where we agree to partner, and we have a service area of about 50 square miles. Probably about one-third of that is located within the municipalities, and then two-thirds are in unincorporated Garfield County. And the company we've had, it's the same company that we've had since the inception. They've been bought and sold a few different times, but we've been working with the same folks for about, I guess we'll be going on about 16 years now. And what they do is they set up monitoring sites, and they will actually set up traps and do mosquito counts. And that's where we see what we have out there, and we see the different species. Because on the West Nile virus, we're looking for a particular species that's a carrier. It's called Culex tarsalis. And so then you mentioned fogging, and those decisions are based on the trap counts in a given area. So we have about almost a dozen traps set out throughout the county, and those are kind of based on historically where we've seen high populations of mosquitoes. And as far as the fogging goes, that decision is made by each entity. So, for instance, if a trap count is showing up high in 1 week in Parachute, then the town of Parachute would make that decision in conjunction with the mosquito company. If it's in Garfield County, then they will get with me, and I will contact the county manager who actually would make that decision on the fogging. And so the main method of control is actually larviciding, where they use organic, and I'm gonna butcher the Latin name because it's got more than two syllables, so I always have a hard time. It's called Bacillus thuringiensis, and that's an organic larvicide, and they actually put that out in areas where there's standing water. And so I probably would estimate 95% of the control that they do is the larviciding. But what's important for folks to know this year with all the moisture we had is we're going to have a lot of high water. And what will happen is the mosquitoes that initially come out in late May and June will be floodwater mosquitoes. And that's going to grab everybody's attention. But they're not the carriers of the West Nile virus.
Interesting.
So as we get later into the summer, we have to be more cognizant of some of our practices around the home as far as standing water goes, because the Culex tarsalis just loves standing water. So I'm going to give you an example. I think you've probably heard of tires. You have tires around the home, say a tire just leaning up against the wall, like collect water, or you have bird baths or your dog water bowls outside. Those need to be changed every 2 or 3 days. So I'll give you an example. The typical, say, larger size coffee can, if that's full of water, that can produce 10,000 mosquitoes in a summer.
And the bad mosquitoes.
The bad mosquitoes, exactly, because they like the stagnant water. So that's the kind of thing that people can do on their own to reduce their own risk. And the thing to remember about the Culex tarsalis is you've heard of the 4 Ds, drain, use DEET, and dawn and dusk. So dawn and dusk is when you really have to worry about the Culex tarsalis. So if you're out at sunrise or the next morning, if you're out at sunrise or later in the evening at sunset, and those mosquitoes are out, those are the ones you've got to worry about. That's when the Culex is out.
Is there a difference in the male and the female for West Nile virus? For instance, is it malaria where the female is actually the carrier, Abby?
So the way mosquitoes work is that the females are the only ones that are going to be drinking blood from any sort of host.
No kidding.
yeah, jokes. Feel free to insert any jokes. The males are usually nectar feeders for almost every type of mosquito. Okay. Males are going to be feeding on flowers. So it's usually the females that transmit all of these diseases.
And this is where it's nice to be sitting next to the entomologist and we can defer to the expert.
I was going to say, she gave you a thumbs up when you gave the Latin name.
BT, that was an excellent, yeah. Excellent pronunciation.
I was going to say, what's Latin for bad?
I do not know Latin.
I'm sure there is one.
I'm sure there is.
Anyway, so if, again, I guess what I take away from that, Steve, is I'm sure that there's probably a possibility at any time you get bit by a mosquito that it could have West Nile, but most likely later on in the year, because the carrier for West Nile actually likes the standing water as opposed to like the flood water next to the river and that kind of thing. So those mosquitoes may be a nuisance, may be annoying. They'll make you itch for a few days, but they're not the carrier for West Nile virus.
And that's correct. To give you an idea of a typical situation where you may see the Culex, the carrier of West Nile, would be, let's say you had a pond and you've got cattails around the banks of the pond. They would be in those cattails.
As I did growing up, actually, which is interesting you would mention that. Okay. And I got bit by many a mosquito, let's just say. Well, you know, a kid, you want to be outside, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And mud does help, by the way, folks, if you didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Abby, you said that there was actually some non-invasive weed conversations you wanted to have today, too.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about some of the programs that we're usually present at. And I'll give you our phone number if you ever have any questions about some of our programs or how you can attend some of these or get involved. And that's 970-625-3969. And that's the Garfield County Extension Office. So if you have any questions about any of these, you can contact us. But we usually have horticulture programming every month, and we usually have outreach now, especially with our new master gardeners. So we have two major outreach events coming up. One's going to be Dandelion Days in Carbondale, where Steve and I are going to be there talking about some of the programs we have available.
Is that on the list, by the way, Steve? Are dandelions?
Absolutely not on the list.
No kidding.
That's right. It's not even on the state's list, which is larger.
Really?
I've never heard any discussion about putting that on the list.
I remember from the past that cheatgrass is also not on the list?
Cheatgrass is not on the county's list, but it is on the state's list as a list
C. It should be.
It's a list C.
Anybody
on the
that's
list.
Had one of those seeds caught in their sock knows it should be on a lot of lists.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Abby. You were so Dandelion Days.
Yeah,
you'll have a booth out there.
Yes. So Steve and I will have a booth out there talking about some of our programs and opportunities, and we'll have master gardeners there as well, helping us out. And then the following weekend on May 18th, we have a Healthy Lands Open House at the Silt Preserve, and that's done in collaboration with a variety of groups, including Garfield County, our conservation districts, which are Book Cliff, Southside, and Mount Sopris conservation districts, Aspen Valley Land Trust, CSU Extension. Did I forget anybody?
Also, the Colorado Department of Agriculture's Insectary, which is located in Palisade, which they are experts in biocontrols and releasing beneficial insects for some of these noxious weeds, because a lot of folks are interested in other methods. Yeah. They're going to actually be there on a Saturday. We're happy that they've agreed to do that.
Absolutely.
Like the tamarisk. Kevin, they had really good luck getting rid of the tamarisk with the...
There's a little weevil.
Thank you. It's like a Chinese... Didn't it come from China?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, though. I want to say it will not reproduce in our climate.
That's been very effective. Probably one of the most effective biocontrol releases. And that's it doesn't permanently kill the tamarisk, but it can defoliate it for about 3 to 4 years. So when you've got large populations and you're doing that type of work on it, it really helps reduce the infestation.
And I forget what the number is, but tamarisk drinks something like 10 gallons of water a day, like one plant. Don't quote me on the number, but it's something really crazy.
Well, it averages about 30 for a growing
30 gallons.
30 gallons per day. And
that's a lot of water.
One of the things that we're excited about the Insectary being at this Healthy Lands Open House Day is that in the last probably 4 years, they've been providing the county and our landowners with insects that work on Russian knapweed. So as we all know, Russian knapweed is prevalent throughout the county, and we need other tools in the toolbox. And just last week, they gave me about 4,000 gall wasps that feed on Russian knapweed that we put out throughout the county.
Would these look like a mud dauber, or?
They're usually very, very small,
teeny
tiny little wasps.
I almost didn't want to say wasp, but it almost looks more like a gnat or a small fly.
So don't get hung up on the name.
Don't get hung up on the wasp.
No. We've got paper wasps and we've got those mean old mud daubers here.
These aren't
that's what grandma called them anyway.
Yeah, yellow jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, any insect identification, call me. I'll help you out.
Abby will be right there.
Yes, I will be. Yeah.
So again, the phone number at the extension office is 625-3969. If you have questions about growing things, actually, you can probably have some overlap with Steve with the noxious weeds, huh?
Absolutely. I love to rely on Steve's expertise when it comes to the noxious weeds themselves and the pesticide aspect of it. And so we do partner up, and I definitely use him as a resource.
And again, that May 18th event, again, with all the conservation districts, as well as the Aspen Valley Land Trust, the State Insectary, of course, Garfield County Vegetation, and the CSU Extension.
Highway Feed as well.
Highway Feed is going to be there.
And again, that's at the Silt
Preserve,
which is across the river from Silt, and then you turn right.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're missing the most important aspect of that day. Free lunch.
Yes,
that's
there's
right.
There's going to be a barbecue with brats and hot dogs, I think, and a few guided nature walks to show you some of
that's
these
awesome.
Weeds in place.
Which one of you will be cooking?
Oh, I don't think I should be allowed to cook.
We're gonna flip that coin on Thursday, I think. Yeah.
We should.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Fair enough. And again, Dandelion Day is this weekend in Carbondale.
Absolutely. Yes.
We'll take one final break, come back and wrap things up in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're talking with Steve Anthony, Garfield County's Vegetation Manager. And Abby Saeed is the extension agent that you call for bugs and weeds and yards and crops.
Absolutely, all of that.
And if I can whittle this down to layman terms.
Yeah.
You can see both of them at Dandelion Days this weekend. They'll be out there answering questions, plus a lot of those Master Gardener folks will be out there as well. And then on May 18th at the Silt River Preserve, along with a number of other partners. Is that the first time that – it's the second year, I want to say.
First.
Is it the first? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully everybody will come on out so that everyone involved wants to come back next year and do it all over again. Again, if you have any questions about the mosquito program as well, just Google Garfield County Vegetation Management, and Steve can probably answer those questions about the collection of those mosquitoes throughout Garfield County. So it sounds like you work really close with the municipalities as well, Steve, because you mentioned specifically Parachute in an example that you gave. Not that there's been any mosquitoes there that haven't been elsewhere in the county, but you mentioned them as an example. So
right. Well, the tendency has been, although I wouldn't want anybody up valley to let their guard down about mosquitoes and taking the right precautions, but the tendency has been that the western part of the county gets hit harder with mosquitoes.
It's warmer,
yeah. And just everything is more conducive to that. The standing water, so Parachute, Rifle, Silt. And then it's odd, but then you get to Carbondale, and there gets to be a little bit more around Carbondale than there would be in Glenwood, for instance.
Interesting.
And I'll just throw out my phone number, too, in case folks don't have access to a computer, and it's 970-379-4456. That's my cell number. So if anybody has any questions on the mosquitoes or the weeds.
Okay. Again, that's 379-4456. If you don't have something to write with handy, I'll give Steve's number again and Abby's number at the extension office toward the end of the conversation today. Steve, you also work with Rocky Mountain Youth Corps as well. And what do you do with them?
Well, that's a real good program that the commissioner started. I'm probably not going to get the exact date, but I think it was about 2010 and 2011. And what they wanted to do initially was federal land management agencies were facing budget cutbacks, and so it was really impacting some of the recreation programs and campground maintenance and trail maintenance and even some of the range programs. So they wanted to try to help these land management agencies out by setting aside some funding for different crews that would be Rocky Mountain Youth Corps crews. And the program has grown over the years, so now we have three different types of crews. We have the community youth crew, which I kind of call the younger high school crew, which is from about 14, 15-year-olds, maybe some 16-year-olds. Those are about two-week sessions, and they do work for, they might work for the Parachute Battlement Park and Rec District, or they might work for the City of Rifle up at Rifle Mountain Park. And then the next crew is called the Regional Youth Crew, which gets, I call that the older high school crew, of about 16, 17, 18-year-olds. And those are a little bit bigger. As we go up in age, the programs get a little more involved. And these are 2 to 4 week sessions, but these can be camping sessions that they do. And they may work for municipalities, or they may work do some work for the Bureau of Land Management. And then the larger crew is the Trails crew, which is 18 to 25-year-olds. And we have that crew for about 10 weeks, and they'll really work all over the county. Originally, we were pretty much only partnering with the Forest Service, but that's evolved over time as other entities have heard about it. But they will do things like Grizzly Creek, working on that trail in Glenwood Canyon, or they may work. There's a Mansfield Cherry Creek Trail up the Buford Newcastle Road that they work on, and it's really a good. That crew is they call it, it's a 24/7 crew. They work together, they live together, and they recreate together. So they're out kind of working constantly for 10 weeks. And kind of they're together for all the summer. And the Trails crew, they can actually get up to, I think it's $1,400 of credit for AmeriCorps, a scholarship program.
Oh, wow.
And so we always want to encourage one of the commissioners really had two things in mind when they created this program. And the first one we talked about was to provide assistance to federal land management agencies, but the other thing was to provide employment opportunities for county youth residents. So if anybody's interested, I think probably most positions are getting close to being filled at this point, but again, you can go to Rocky Mountain Youth Corps, that website. Make sure you get the one in Steamboat, because there's also a Rocky Mountain Youth Corps in northern New Mexico, so you can go to that website. It's based out of Steamboat, or you can contact me and we can point you in the right direction.
It's not exactly the same thing, but as you're talking about that, I'm reminded of the wooden platforms up at Hanging Lake, which of course were built by the Boy Scouts.
That's true, and they've done, this crew has worked the last couple of summers in Hanging Lake in that area. Now this year they're not, but they have done that in the past.
And Abby, I forgot because I got so involved in what Steve was talking about with Rocky Mountain Youth Corps. There was something else. Oh, 4-H, of course.
Yeah.
You involve 4-H kids with what you do on a regular basis as well. You might consider these, a lot of people might think they're different programs of CSU, but actually you do work together and you kind of include everything.
Absolutely. We have an amazing office, and one of the most amazing people in there is our 4-H STEM and after school agent, Casey Manupella. Mm-hmm. And so her, along with our GoCo Hub coordinator, Meredith Burke, who helps us with some of our youth programs too, and myself, we usually do some team programs, and some of those coming up include one coming up this month on May 17th. We have an outdoor adventure entomology day where we're going to catch bugs and play outdoor games at Lions Pond on May 17th from 9 a.m. to noon. That's a free program for kids, and we cap that off with ice cream and popsicles. But we have lots of other programs coming up always, so give our office a call to ask about them. We have spa chemistry programs regularly in June and July, and we have an outdoor series of programs coming up, and those are in collaboration with our AmeriCorps service members, our office, and our GoCo Hub coordinator and myself that work together to do some outdoor day camps and an overnight camp as well.
Meredith was actually just here the other day.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. We love to partner together, and we love to – teamwork makes the dream work, so we love to work together.
What was the term you used, spa?
spa chemistry. So
yes.
We, our STEM agent, Casey, comes up with really cool ways that you can incorporate the science, technology, engineering, and math into everything we do. So spa chemistry includes making soaps and lip balms and bath bombs and things like that, all of which is chemistry related. So making all of these cool spa type lotions and potions and relating it all back to the science of it.
Kind of like when my grandparents used to make their own lye soap.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's very cool. So again, if you'd like more information about Extension, the phone number at the Extension office is 625-3969. Again, if you'd like to test the soil in your garden or your yard, just stop by the Extension office at the fairgrounds in Rifle, pick up one of those kits, and then you'll send it in along with $35. I imagine you can probably pay online in this day and age, or do you need to send in a check?
You can. So what we do is we're kind of that host that has the kits, but you contact our soil testing lab in Fort Collins to do the payments. Most people send a check in with their soil, but if you call them, I'm sure they can work out a way that you can pay online as well.
And again, if you'd like to learn more from Steve about the noxious weeds, like I say, if you got something, a lot of times noxious weeds can be the most colorful, right? Not always, but sometimes. And Steve can either come out and look for it yourself or put you in touch with someone else who can make it out there, because he does work with the conservation districts. They do that kind of thing as well. Again, some cost share programs that are available both through Garfield County as well as through the conservation districts, plus the mosquito program. And you're actually doing a special you're giving a reward for the noxious weeds for the this is the Spurge we're talking about before,
the Purge the Spurge program, which we talked about last year. We partner with CSU Extension on, and if you're not sure what the myrtle spurge looks like, again, go to the website. Garfield County Vegetation Management got photos of that, but it's a landscaping weed that was intentionally planted in a lot of neighborhoods 30 to 40 years ago, and it's escaped, and it's bad. We're offering kind of a bounty program, so for each bag pulled, you can get a $20 voucher that supports Mountain Valley Greenhouse, and you can get native plants from Mountain Valley. But again, if on the myrtle spurge, be real careful when you're pulling that or digging that, because
you have to pull the root out, right?
You have to pull the root out, and there's a latex in the stem that can be a skin irritant, so you need to wear long sleeves.
Oh, sounds kind of like a milkweed almost.
Almost, right. It can be an irritant, and it is actually a List A species where the state wants it eradicated, and it's on the Garfield County's list too.
How much a bag is it?
It's $20 for just a 13-gallon bag, and so okay. It's a pretty good deal, and you can get a voucher to go to Mountain Valley and get you can get native plants, or you could even get garden plants, whatever you choose with that $20 voucher.
And again, it's a $20 voucher for if you pull up a 13-gallon trash bag of this myrtle spurge, which is, I guess, nasty stuff.
It is.
It does look kind of pretty. I mean, you know, if you didn't know that it would give you red splotches on your skin and take over the neighborhood, you know, it might not be such a bad thing. But again, there are do you have a picture of that on the website by chance, Steve?
We do.
I had a feeling.
We do.
So just Google Garfield County Vegetation Management, and you can see a picture of the myrtle spurge and more information about the Purge the Spurge bounty, I guess you might say. Again, Steve's number is 379-4456. If you would like to talk about anything we talked about today and you don't have access to a computer or you can't find the answer elsewhere, he'd be happy to visit with you. Anything else from either one of you?
Nope. Just give us a call and ask about our programs, youth and adult programs across the board. We have something always going on. We have some Friday after school clubs going on too, with Rifle having no school on Fridays. We always have some going on at the Extension office for kids to participate in as well.
Again, Extension office phone number is 625-3969. Steve, anything else from you?
No, just want to say thank you for having us on today, and I think it's going to be a big help as far as getting the awareness out there of the noxious weeds and also Abby's programs and the programs we're doing cooperatively, and we just appreciate the opportunity.
Yes. All right.
Thanks so much.
Have a great summer. If I don't see you before, we'll see you back here around this time next year. And one more time, just to make things even, Steve's number is 379-4456. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.